campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of They Think It's All Doha, teaming up with URN's queerest and dearest team, Holly and Ava are in the studio. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, not bad.
So you guys aren't the biggest football fans, from what I understand.
Slowly getting into it.
What teams are you going to support at the World Cup?
This should be interesting. I think I'm probably going to get a kick in for saying this, but France.
France, they've got a very good chance. Ava, bring it back, please.
I don't have an opinion.
So, well, what's your favourite colour? Let's maybe go that route.
Favourite colour? Orange.
Orange, so you're going to spot the Holland?
Yeah.
They're very nice.
They're lovely people.
Yeah. Lovely people. Very accepting nation, which sort of brings us to what we're going to be talking about today. Maybe less accepting nation. Yeah. So what podcast do you guys do?
Queerest and Dearest.
And what's that show about?
Anything to do with representation or the limitations of society and literature and culture, all based around LGBT rights.
Yeah. So this is your first sports, coming onto sports through this angle, or have you done this before?
We've touched on it on our show, but we haven't come onto a dedicated sports episode.
Yeah. I follow your Instagram, it seems to be everything from who the next Doctor Who is to what's happening in Canada, maybe, for example.
Yeah.
It's really diverse and it really represents the whole community in that it affects everyone in every way, in every sort of thing. So, of course, football is going to be involved in it. Mm. What do you guys actually think about the state of football from outside? I'm not talking about what do you think of corners or anything. What do you think is going on with the offside rule? But what is football's perception, your guys' perception of football at the moment?
In a national view, I mean, it's a slow progress.
Yeah.
A very slow progress that should be majorly quicker. But a good one thing that was really good recently was the England match that had the highest amount of attendees at the stadium, and I thought that was great.
The women's game.
Yeah,
that was a really historic moment for the women's game. And there's obviously been chances of Rainbow Laces, her game too, Kick It Out Racism. Does it seem to you guys that football is doing enough, or do you think football maybe in this country could be doing more, and what would you like to see if that was the case?
Controversially, I think they're doing it for money and not actually.
Is this, I don't know the term, but is this a gay washing? I don't want to.
Queer washing.
Yeah.
I somewhat agree.
Yeah.
I somewhat don't. Mm. I think they're making a progression in a way that makes sense and in a way that's not too quick to kind of put original fans off, because obviously you have the whole stereotype of British fans being a little bit rowdy and being a little bit
the hooligans,
conservative with their views, let's say.
Yes, like you think of Millwall, for example. Millwall. I'm sure there's some lovely Millwall fans, but when I went, Lumenet, you were scary. But yeah, there are clubs like, say, Brighton, for example, who are a lot more, and Crystal Palace, who are their big rival. I'm not sure if you guys know that. That's the big derby. And both teams work really hard at the LGBT like sort of activities and making sure there isn't that homophobia that's often directed towards Brighton. And what do you guys compare to other sports, say rugby for example? Is football behind the times, would you say, or is it leading the way?
Compared just to rugby or sports?
Any sport, you can go for any sport you like.
Compared to rugby, I think football is actually a bit ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
In terms of male representation, in terms of their progression, especially with trans athletes. I mean, recently we had the Welsh Rugby Union going back on their decision to allow trans women to be athletes on teams. So that was a very negative pushback for, I mean, British rugby, let alone just Welsh rugby. But I do think football is progressing slowly but surely. I think it's going to get there.
Yeah.
And obviously now there's footballers that are willing to come out and willing to openly be themselves on the pitch and to fans, which I think is better.
I think a 19-year-old from Brighton, from Blackpool, sorry, has come out, and I forgot his name, which is really poor of me, but he's the first British player to come out since Justin Fashanu, who did play for Forest and Norwich and a few other teams. But since then, in the 80s, there's been no one.
I thought it was a Brighton.
I'm not sure.
I might be completely wrong.
I don't think so. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's Blackpool, because they put out a lovely tweet and Blackpool Tower was lit up in rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. Yeah.
You just get your coastal towns with B mixed up, which is chill.
Well, the thing is, I was either thinking Blackpool or Brighton, or I was thinking of, there's an Australian player as well who just came out recently.
Oh, is there?
I don't want to get it wrong. I want to say Adelaide. But I might be completely wrong on that. I should do my research. But I know.
Also, there's millions of teams. It's really hard because you think there's 32 teams playing at this World Cup, which we're going to come on to. They've all got domestic setup, so it's really hard to keep up with every nation and their rights and what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to talk about Qatar. Could you enlighten the listeners without swearing? Because I know we talked about this off air. How bad is the situation in Qatar?
Very, very.
Yeah.
Tentative.
There's basically, queer people do not have any rights in Qatar at all. And if you display PDA, whether or not it's male and female or queer, I think the male and female is not accepted, whereas the queer one is, you can go to prison for it. Or
it's male and male, so if it's two gay men, it is punishable by death or life in prison. To show, they call it sodomy, which is a disgusting word, and I hate when people call it sodomy. But it's illegal for them to adopt, illegal for them to change their names. They're allowed to cross-dress in public, but they aren't allowed to legally change their gender.
Literally no rights.
It seems very constrictive. If you go back to the previous World Cup in 2018 held in Russia, how does FIFA portray to you, where if you look at the last two major tournaments they've gone for, they've been played in Russia and Qatar, for the world's game, the most popular game in the world, what do you think that says to LGBT fans?
It's all about the money. Because FIFA is majorly corrupt organisation. As much as I do appreciate football, I really dislike FIFA, and I know Russia and Qatar just paid more so that they had more chance of getting, not even more chance, just so they can get the World Cup to come to their place, and it's just, it's all about the money.
Yeah. Do you think this, okay, there's an argument to say that with the world's attention being on both nations, it can improve the human rights. This has been said about the workers, and that's been the excuse. Now, I think all of us in this studio think that is a very sort of, yeah, that's what's going on, and not really an answer. What do you think about that for, this is in maybe showing the light on other problems in the nation?
I think it's bringing up the same question as was brought up with the Commonwealth Games recently, that Tom Daley did an amazing documentary about, called Illegal to Be Me, on the BBC. Self-plug. Definitely.
Are you working for the BBC now?
I don't know. Maybe. Hit me up, guys. But so it was all about whether or not we should cut out those countries with those negative views, whether that be hosting, competing, allowing them to even have athletes compete with other countries if they have split nationalities. And it drew up a lot of ideas of, if we cut those places out, or if we stop them from competing and hosting, does that then also stop their progression within sport, within the wider world of their, of our understanding of their culture and why they're like that? Or does that then just stop their athletes from being able to then be themselves within sport?
It's a very interesting debate, and I think, because the Commonwealth is former British colonies, and if you look at, say, cricket, you look at the rights, gay rights in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the major test playing countries, it's very, very poor. And even if you think about teams in the West Indies, they are very problematic, like Barbados, which is no longer part of the Commonwealth, but for the point of this, it's not good. What did you come to the what was your sort of hypothesis by the end of that documentary? It's alright if you don't have one, because that's a big question to ask.
It's a two-sided thing. It's in my logical brain says, not even my logical, like the somewhat part of my brain that has a little bit of knowledge, says keep them in. It'll allow those athletes within that community that don't agree with the laws of the countries or don't agree with the culture there, but want to be themselves and want to compete and want to celebrate who they are and celebrate sport together. We shouldn't cut them out to then just mitigate the issue, just ignore the issue, because that's really what it is. If you cut them out, you're ignoring it.
Yeah, it just feels like, oh, no, that's not our problem anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. But then there's also the argument of, if we cut them out, does that then also cut out the negativity that they bring?
Yeah.
So, like, with the football in Qatar, like, will that bring extra negativity towards the community within football? Okay. Or will that allow fans to educate themselves on the community or educate themselves on issues? Which, I mean, we have seen, there's been loads of articles about specific fans. There was a whole portion of Welsh fans that have boycotted going to the football, and I thought that was amazing. They educated themselves on the issues and said, I don't want to go there. I think it's a really negative place.
I think,
and
Wales have led the way in this.
Yeah, definitely.
Wales have got also, well, which I will plug, and I think you guys will love this. Their big idea is called the Red Wall. That's their fan base, and they all go behind the goal. They all wear bucket hats. For some reason, it's a Welsh thing. Maybe it's the rain.
Very interesting, yeah.
They've now gone for rainbow bucket hats.
Ooh.
Supporting LGBT charities in Wales, I believe, and football, and across, I think, in Qatar. But I think that's just incredible. And the argument being, without this sort of going to Qatar, would that have happened? Probably not. And it has educated people, but is it worth it? I'm not sure.
Yeah. There is also, Qatar put out loads of conflicting statements about LGBT proclamations,
especially
at, say,
flags
and any identity really being shown. So they'd put out saying, we'll accept anyone, you're welcome here, but when you come to the stadium, we will take away your gay flags, and we will take away anything with a rainbow, and you will have to act straight, and you will have to act with our culture and respect our culture. Which, you understand, you're going to somewhere, you're going to respect their culture.
And especially with England football fans with drinking, I go, I can understand that, and the prices, we can talk about that at a different time, but it pales into significance of not being able to have a rainbow flag.
Yeah, so they wanted to take it away, and their excuse, the Qatar official said, it was for the safety of the fans who are part of the community. Which, on a surface level, great. Good idea.
But in the grand
scheme of things, it's just another level of censorship that adds to their negativity towards the community. And you don't realise how deeply rooted it is within that. Because as much as looking out and you read it the first time, you're like, oh, great, they're doing it for the safety of people. That's great. You read into it a bit more for maybe 10 seconds and you realise that it's really just helping their agenda and helping their opinions on the community without us even knowing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It feels very much like you say, it feels like, oh, everyone's equal, and then you realise, no, you can't be equal because you can't be yourself, and it just feels so limiting.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing also about FIFA is well, this is more on a general basis, but basically FIFA, like Qatar, have been going backwards and forwards with statements, and since it was announced that Qatar was going to receive the World Cup, they had signed like a bunch of like human rights documents and stuff like that, like assuring that all workers that are going to work for the World Cup and stuff like that are going to be like treated equally and good pay. But if you do a little bit of search up, well, sadly our lovely co-host Liv, who's not here, found a number and said that since it was announced in 2010 that Qatar was going to receive the World Cup and they started the constructions, over 6,000 workers died.
Wow.
Constructing the stadiums.
The number put out by the Qatar government is a lot lower. I think they've claimed 4. And and it's one of those where you almost want it to be 4. In a sort of course they're telling the truth. But deep down, I think we all know there's far bigger problems in Qatar.
Yeah.
With all the countries, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I'm collecting the sticker book. It's always been a big part for me. I love collecting it. You get to see so many different countries in it. Every country from Ecuador to Japan, the whole world is covered. And you look at the countries that have much better LGBTQ rights, like Holland, for example. I believe Germany have quite progressive rights as well. It must be difficult for their fan bases, and English fan bases and Wales fan bases. It's very tricky for them to go, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, Wales have never been to a World Cup since 1958. To put that in perspective, the duvet's been invented since then. So it's mad for them to turn down this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to fans thinking about going, I'm an Aaron?
it's expensive.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Like, I just think on the general, I'd understand that you'd want to, like, boycott this and stuff like that, but also it's expensive. And I think you need a visa to go visit Qatar. Wow. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah. I think go with your morals, go with your gut. If you feel as though it's going to have a negative impact to support going to a place like that, obviously you're going to support the football and you're going to support other fans and the teams and everything, but know and maybe educate yourself on the place that you're going to and why it's such a negative place, and then come to terms with whether you want to go, because obviously you'll be progressing their economy, you'll be progressing what they want while also helping out with the football and having fun and whatever. So if you want to go and have fun, go and have fun, but please do educate yourself on the issues to do with Qatar.
Yeah,
I think it's a safety issue as well, because there's a chance that even if you want to risk it, might not be but if you want to pay for it and you're such a big football fan, again, you might be someone from Wales who wants to go see them, and you think, oh, this once in a lifetime thing. But I would just think, like, imagine going to see something in a once, like something that's so amazing to you, but think, oh my god, between leaving my hotel and getting to the stadium, there's a chance that I could be in danger because of who I am.
It's so beyond. Now I go to the football every week.
Big up Forest.
Yeah, big up Forest. We've got to plug it somehow, haven't we? And I take it for granted how lucky I am to go to a football ground. And my dad tells me stories about when he went to grounds in like London in the 80s, and you go, well, that sounds a bit like piles of bricks and stuff. And we really take for granted how safe we really are. And yes, there have been incidents, but safety at football seems to be coming on a long way. It does just feel like a massive step backwards.
Yeah.
And you think of the countries that could have hosted it, like Germany, like England could have hosted it. And I'm not saying England's perfect at the moment, don't get me wrong. It's still progressing and it's miles ahead of places like Qatar. It just feels very two steps backwards today.
Yeah, it's a big kick in the teeth. Yeah. It's saying you can be who you want to be. And, you know, there's athletes out there that are coming out and being who they are and showing the football community as a whole over the globe that it's okay to be who you are. You can still be a good footballer and be gay, like that's okay.
It's they not are completely exclusive.
Separate things.
There is like a sort of Venn diagram where you can be both.
This is a big kick in the teeth telling you, cool, you're gay, but that's not okay. And it's a huge step back within the football community of really taking back statements that were previously made, and it's huge, really. And I don't think people really see how big of an issue it is.
I think what's more worrying is that the, let's say, extremist football fans who have got very conservative views, when they go to the World Cup, they're almost going to think it's normal, their views. And, like, it's going to even, like, heighten their conservative views over, like, gay people and stuff like that. Which I think, like, obviously it's not good for the gay rights and, like, gay people, but it's also just going to heighten the negative views that these conservative football extremist fans have. Yeah.
If you were in charge of the BBC and ITV, who will be broadcasting the events, okay, knowing you two, maybe that's not a good idea.
Not the biggest fans.
You're broadcasting to the nation on, which is usually the biggest broadcast of the year. You think of the Euros final, the semi-final in 2018, to the biggest, highly populated, highest viewed programmes this country's ever had. With a nation like this, do you have to put in the pre-match build these issues, or do you just focus on the football? It's an interesting debate.
If you want to ignore the issue, you ignore the issue.
Okay.
But I think if the BBC or ITV have their head screwed on, which recently they seem to be progressing in the right direction, very slowly, but still somewhat, I think then yes, they should make a point of it. They should put a precursor before the game's on, you know, a black screen that says we do not support the views of this place, or put an advert on that has a queer couple in it, or that has a woman in it, or just to put that representation in something that will have literally no representation.
Yes, that's a very good point. And obviously the men's team for England and Wales does not have an LGBTQ player. It's not like, I'm afraid, there's masses to choose from who are currently open.
Yeah, you can't expect
So, and also the pundits that played, I'm going to guess the lineup's going to be Lineker, Shearer, probably Jermaine Genius because he's on everything. He's the L'Oreal guy, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah.
Good guy, absolutely love him. And then probably a representative of Argentina, for example. There's not that much diversity going on there, is there?
But I do think maybe, this is a theory.
Yeah.
I do think they might have a little way of rebelling against their views. So I wouldn't be surprised, let's say, that some of those presenters, they might have a pin on with the flag or something like that. And I wouldn't be surprised, because I think some players are also scared, like the players from other teams and stuff like that, from very accepting and open countries, I think right now are scared to say anything.
Yeah.
But they might show a sign during a match.
Yeah, it's the little things that make a big difference. Mm. It really is. It's wearing a pin or rainbow laces or a rainbow armband.
Yeah.
Or and, it's the tiny things that make a difference.
Because also with the laces, say Harry Kane is sponsored by Nike. I'm not sure if that's the case, but let's, for the purpose of this, I'm also, there's going to be one listener who goes, he's actually sponsored by Adidas. let's just say they release... Do you think also the companies, like boot companies, could do something, e.g. we're going to have our tick with a rainbow on? Because then Qatar can't say, you can't use those boots, because then the player can't play with the boots. And it becomes money versus money. So is this maybe other companies can get involved and help, like Coca-Cola?
They very much could, as long as they do not commercialise the issue.
Because
a lot of companies do gay wash and then commercialise off of it and get money off of it. So if Nike were to bring out a rainbow tick or rainbow laces or like a rainbow sole or something, I would almost expect them to give, and I don't like to expect things from many big companies, but I would almost expect them to give at least a fair portion of the profits from that to LGBT charities or charities that could put awareness out there for those issues. But in the grand scheme of things, I think that's a good idea. Like, bringing that into the sport so it kind of has to be there would make representation a lot easier.
And you think about all the companies that sponsor England alone, if you think Wales, and then all the countries that, all those countries, the 32 countries being sponsored to high heaven. And then you think about the tournament sponsors, it's the Heineken beer pub. I think they have to be in gardens, it's very, very tight. Coca-Cola, they've got all theirs. There's so many other facets than otherwise the teams and Qatar that could help, but this idea of commercialising off it, it does seem a bit more harder than, right, we'll just whack a rainbow on it, because it has repercussions, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It helps in terms of putting the word out, and, you know, slapping a rainbow flag on something isn't going to fix the problem.
No, that's a very good point.
It's just going to... It'll put the word out there and people go, oh, look. Thingy Bob's wearing a rainbow. Yeah. That's good.
But
that's nice representation.
But it's not stopping. Yeah, it's not stopping it in the street.
How's
is
that
it?
Helping us? How is that? How's that helping those people back home or those people in Qatar that need that help? You know, there's people that are marginalised because of their sexuality or because of who they are and their gender and anything like that. So slapping a rainbow flag on something could help, but commercialising off of it will never help.
It's really interesting, and this is opening debates I've never heard of, and I'm sure many of the listeners maybe haven't heard of. When is your slot this year, so to hear more of these debates?
So we have the same slot, so Saturday 6 till 7 p.m. Every week we talk about everything.
You got any predictions for the World Cup? Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, I don't know.
I still think England and France are definitely going to get to the semi-final, and I think Germany. I'll put four countries that will get like I think England, France, Germany, Argentina, maybe?
Argentina, Lionel Messi with his final World Cup.
Is it his final World Cup?
Well, he's about
Is he still playing?
He's still I thought 2018 was going to be his last World Cup, to be honest, and he's just an absolute monster.
Yeah.
Ava, go on, give us a big prediction.
Well, I have literally no idea. So do you know what? I'm sticking with my favourite colour again, and it's Holland.
Holland winning win their first.
Didn't they win a few World Cups ago?
They've never won a World Cup. They've been to two. Bless finals.
First one this year.
Yeah. But also, Holland are a team who maybe fans from say Scotland can certainly get behind because very good kits. I know that's a big part of my life, but also a really good sort of historic view of acceptance and diversity in those countries. And we're going to go on to one last topic. How big is it, not just England, but those countries that are accepting? What would you say to their players and their fans before this tournament? Oh, sorry, that's a big ask. Sorry.
Fans?
Yeah, okay, theoretically, what would you say to those people who can make a difference?
Do it. Make a difference. Every tiny little thing you do will make a difference. If you put a rainbow flag emoji in your bio and put your pronouns on your Instagram or your Twitter, it will make a difference. You're putting the word out there of saying, I'm accepting, I am here for you. It's okay to be who you are. And it's not making a spectacle of it. Because I think a lot of people expect spectacles whenever it's a big issue or anything. And I don't think the large proportion of the community, at least that we know and that we've seen, expect those things. We just expect acceptance.
Yeah.
Which and seems so basic, doesn't
so
it?
It's so basic. Yeah. Like, the tiny little things you can do will help.
Yeah.
I just want them. And if you do decide to go to Qatar, just please be safe.
Yeah.
Because as much as, showing support through the little pins and stuff like that, from what we've seen from those articles about how they will remove flags and stuff, just be safe, because it is really sad to think to go see a football match.
Yeah.
You have to be safe for your life.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying this in a way of, like, I don't want them to be, like, hiding everything. I just want them to
not
safe, but don't be surprised about how extreme their views are.
I also think if you're a fan of football, or you're a player of football, or you just happen to see a match on, I think if you want to help out with those views and these issues, just educate yourself on it. Go online. You could literally type the word gay into Google and get thousands upon thousands of articles about gay issues all over the world.
Yeah.
You could read two articles on it and it might enlighten you on anything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Or talk to people you know and understand their point of view within the community, and really try to embody the morals and the ideas that you're trying to help out with. Because I think there's a lot of people that try and help with the community but don't exactly play along with the community. You don't have to be gay to be part of the community. You can just be someone who accepts people.
Seems quite simple when you put it like that.
It really is.
Donate to the Stonewall Foundation. There you go.
Also, we'll find out details for the Rainbow Wall, which is an amazing idea, and if I can I'll see if I can get you guys those amazing bucket hats, because they're so cool.
I would wear that day by day.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's your first sports debut of the year, I want to say.
Exciting.
A very exciting year coming up, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Dom.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a delight having you on. Keep it locked and keep it URM.